Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, and historic day in presidential politics as Barack Obama, the first African American, becomes the likely Democratic nominee for president. Senior editor of Essence, Patrick Henry Bass, what chapter would this be in one of your books? Because you've written about civil rights and about presidential politics.
Right. So the first book was Like a Mighty Stream, which looked at the March on Washington, where Dr. King delivered his great "I Have a Dream" speech. And I think that Barack
justice was supposed to flow like a mighty stream.
Exactly.
Right. Yes,
what?
Yes.
From the Bible, John. Yeah. And so what we heard from Barack Obama was probably one of the most definitive speeches we've heard so far, the 21st century. In terms of oratory, it was a masterpiece.
Last night. Whether
you love or loathe Barack Obama, it was a masterpiece of oratory. And one of the things we're sort of missing in the political landscape today are masterful orators. You know, to listen to John McCain sort of fumble his way to his speech, you know.
He's pathetic.
Exactly.
He's just pathetic.
That's a bit harsh. We're going to come back to politics.
I didn't call Bush an idiot when he was campaigning back in 2000. I am not making that mistake this time on McCain. He fumbles. He dissembles. Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Because we're going to come back to politics. We're going to talk a lot more about that.
Probably not. I'll be fired.
A trivia question first. Which country has the third largest film industry after Hollywood and India's Bollywood? There should be a drum roll there.
I know the answer.
Nigeria, with the help of Ghana, with films with titles like Mummy's Daughter Part 4, Beyonce, The President's Daughter, and End of Dreams. They are part of a booming $250 million plus business that produces some 2,400 movies annually. And Patrick, what is a Nollywood movie?
Well, before we get into that, I just think it's unfair that Dollywood doesn't get its fair share. Dollywood in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. When we think
as
Hollywood,
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton's
right,
park,
right, right,
you know.
Right.
Nollywood.
It's very different. Nollywood very couldn't be more different than Dollywood.
What is Nollywood?
Nollywood is a homegrown industry in Nigeria. It's their film business. It's real cheap, you know, cheap. It's beyond having films on a shoestring. It's like on a French fry, actually. Films that are direct to DVD or video that are capturing millions of viewers worldwide, especially here in the United States.
When you say cheap, you're talking about $10,000 to $25,000 a movie.
Right.
Well, $5 a movie.
Some of the actors iron their shirts, you know, before they go on.
Three chip cameras that you can buy just down the street here, and, you know, microphones, and they got these great chase scenes, and they edit them together on computers.
Right. But I guess if you see any of the blaxploitation films, I mean, you know, some of the Nollywood films make blaxploitation seem like they were produced by James Cameron, you know. Yeah. However, you know, what they lack in quality, they make up for in terms of heart and story and engagement and drama and passion and all those other things.
And big audience numbers.
Exactly. Let's talk about the substance of them. They are morality tales. Some people call them novellas. They're sort of soap opera-ish. Culturally, how are they different? How are they distinctively West African?
Okay, so in terms of West Africa, there's the Nollywood tradition of, you know, exploring voodoo and some of the films. And I stay away from that. I'm from Lawrenceburg, North Carolina. However, those films do very, very well in Nigeria and parts of West Africa and also some parts here in the United States as well. There's always a redemptive quality to these films. Like one of the precursors to the entire movement was Living in Bondage, which is not what it sounds like in the United States. Living in Bondage was about a man who essentially sold his soul and his wife died. So Christianity always wins out in those films where the cult or voodoo is explored. The Nollywood films that are doing extremely well here in the United States and also in Nigeria and other parts of Africa are the aspirational tales that borrow heavily from telenovelas, American soap operas, you know, primetime dramas like Dynasty, where you have you know, for these budgets, lavish clothes, you know, glamorous outfits, you know, SUVs, you know, characters named Beyonce and Ciara, you know, their versions of bling.
And you can hop on the 5 train and go to the South Bronx and buy these, right? I mean, these
are hop on the 5 train in the South Bronx. You can anywhere where you can find Fufu, you can also find a Nollywood film.
Let's listen to a trailer of the Beyonce movie, Beyonce, the President's Daughter.
Yes, and that was the limit.
You stay the hell away from my boyfriend, because if you don't,
you think it's all about money? It's all about money. Well, take it. Take it all. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want anything to do with it. Just leave me alone. Leave us alone.
And they're all in English. That's another thing, well, because that way they can appeal not only to audiences all over Nigeria, because there are many languages spoken there, but also all over the world.
Right. And that is a Ghanaian film, actually, because, you know, there are other countries that have become a part of the Nollywood movement in Benin and Burkina Faso and others. And the Beyonce, the President's Daughter film, has definitely gained a lot of traction in the United States. That's how I found out about them.
There's ripoffs of the Beyonce film. It's so popular, there's ripoffs.
There are. But what I want to say, you know, and all defense, is that, you know, Nigeria is a country that has produced some of the greatest writers of the world. You know, Chinua Achebe, Ben Okri. There are a lot of Nigerians who are appalled by these Nollywood films. But there's a documentary called This Is Nollywood that's amazing. And what the people who produce the films and direct the films and star in the films are saying is, this is for the masses, you know. And what it does, it gives us a view of Africa that we often don't see. And in the strangest way, we tend to see misery on the front page of, you know, our daily papers, especially our spreadsheets of Africa. And this is Misery Loves Company in the tradition of the radio soap opera or the television soap opera or the telenovela.
Or Hollywood in the 1930s.
Exactly.
In America.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But very quickly, a big hit is a movie that sells several hundred thousand versions. As we said, they go for $2 and sometimes
direct
cheaper.
To DVD.
You can get two for $5, actually,
nice.
You know, in some places. And one of the things about it is that it's gathering people together. It's bringing people who are African immigrants together here.